is wonderful. Love.
And that's a true message. If you know the Lord, you need nobody else. And I indeed count it a privilege to spend 30 minutes with you every morning, Monday through Friday, in morning devotions. And I sincerely trust that it is a spiritual blessing and an uplift, something that brings a refreshing in the desert experience of our lives. And certainly when we come to Elim, that place out in the wilderness where there were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees, where the children of Israel encamped on their way to Canaan. It's a time of refreshing, and I hope that this morning will be an Elim experience as we drink from the oasis of God's Word in His presence. There's so much in this world that would pull us away from God, drag us away from everything that is pure and good and clean and wholesome. Isn't that funny how that the world has such a magnetism to it to draw us away from fullness toward emptiness? And yet so many of us give in to it. Why do we do that? We have a strength within us if we will wait on God, but that's what we don't do. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. But alas, we don't wait upon God. And we don't draw our strength from Him. And then when temptation comes, when the allurement of this world comes, we're no match for it, and we surrender, we give in, and we become less than what God wants us to be. But I tell you, if we will just lean upon the everlasting arms of God and stay upon Jehovah, we will find in Him the strength that we need. Do you remember 1 John chapter 4, verse 4? Do you remember what it says? Greater is He that is within you than he that is in the world. That's what we've got. We have God living within us. The Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, living in the hearts of those who love Him and believe in Him. And therefore, greater is He that is within you than he that is in the world. And believe this. Sure, the devil is mighty, but God is almighty. And sure, the pull of this world is terrific, but God's grace is stronger. Praise the Lord. And the Lord blesses us and helps us according to His power, according to His riches, according to His glory. It's interesting how that the Apostle Paul uses that expression some 11 times in the Epistle of Ephesians, according to. And that phrase certainly suggests the measure of God's ability to do. I'm not going to mention all of the occasions that he uses this in Ephesians, but I'll call your attention to just a few. Like in the first chapter of Ephesians, Paul writes, according to the good pleasure of his will. In verse 5, and then in verse 7, according to the riches of his grace. And in verse 9, according to his good pleasure. In verse 11, according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his will. And then in the third chapter, according to the riches of his glory. Well, there is certainly significance in this expression, according to. Remember, it doesn't say, out of his riches he gives us so-and-so, but according to his riches. He gives and gives and gives again. There's a vast difference, you know, between God giving us out of His riches and His giving us according to His riches. That may sound like a play on words, but it's important. God blesses us not out of His riches, but according to His riches. And I can illustrate it like this. If a millionaire were to give me something out of his riches, He might give me $10 or $100 or even $1,000, or he might give me just 10 cents. On the other hand, if the millionaire gave me according to his riches, who can estimate the largeness of the gift he might bestow upon me? And so God measures his gifts to us not by our puny scale of measurement, but according to the riches which he possesses in himself and in which he has abounded toward us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Surely if he does something through Christ, it will not be a scanty doing, it will be exceeding abundantly. And he blesses us not out of his riches, but according to his riches. And all through the Bible, you come across expressions which reveal to us the very heart of God and his willingness, his attitude, to bless us and bless us abundantly. Fear not, little flock, said Jesus, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. That's God's heart. He wants to bless you. He wants to meet your every need. He wants to give you of his fullness. If we live scanty spiritual lives, just barely existing, barely getting through the day, it isn't God's fault. It's ours. Because we are not tapping the resources of divine grace. God is rich, abundant in mercy and grace. And his grace is all sufficient. And he will bless you not out of his riches, a penny or two, but he will bless you according to his riches. That's how David prayed in Psalm 51. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. What a prayer. Not just out of your mercies, bless me, but Lord, according to your abundant mercy. Have mercy upon my soul. According to your mercies, bless me today, Lord. Bless my friends today.
According to thy loving kindness, Father, have mercy on my sinful, wretched soul. Make me to know once more thy joy and gladness. Blot out my sin, O cleanse.
Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. I like that phrase, don't you? Let him stay upon his God. That means to lean upon the everlasting arms of the Lord and put your trust in him. If we build our house upon that solid rock, we're not going to be afraid of the storm. It's only when you're building your house on the shifting sands that you ought to be scared of the storm that's coming. But Jesus taught us very clearly that if we will listen to his words and do them and keep his words, we will be like the man who builds his house upon the solid rock. And the storm comes, and the wind blows, and the floods arise, and the rain descends. But the house stands firm. But that poor man who builds his house without a foundation, just on the sand, when the floods come, and the wind blows, and the rain descends, look out, because the house is going to be demolished, it's going to fall. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Everything else is sinking sand. I want to stay upon my God and find my strength in him. Or as the psalmist put it in Psalm 71, and I love this verse, Psalm 71, verse 16, I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I would suggest that you underline that in your Bible. Psalm 71, verse 16. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. And so as you go out this morning to your job, whatever responsibility is yours to fulfill, say, I will go in the strength of the Lord God. There is that crisis that you're facing. There is that conflict that just to think of it makes you shudder, and yet things have to be done. But don't do it in your own strength, do it in the Lord's strength. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. And remember, God gives to us not out of his riches, but according to his riches. And he promised to meet our every need, spiritually, physically, materially. We are to pray for our daily bread. That's what Jesus taught us in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. What is our daily bread? The things that we need today for our peace of mind and happiness of soul. Let's pray for it. Lord, help me today. Help my friends today. Give us that we need for our sustenance, for our strengthening, grace for every trial. Give us our daily bread. That's not just the bread you put on the table and that you eat physically, but everything that would bring happiness to your life and well-being to your soul and peace of mind and tranquility. Lord, give to us this day our daily bread. Or as this next song so beautifully puts it, Jesus, be Jesus in me. I like that expression. The Jesus that I read of in the New Testament, in all of his power and glory and majesty, the Christ as John saw him on the Isle of Patmos, that even though it had been John who leaned upon his breast at the Last Supper, and was so close and so intimate to the Master, yet now, as he beholds the resurrected Christ, the Son of God, with hair as white as snow, with eyes that burned as a flame of fire, and his voice thundered as many waters, and out of his mouth came forth a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance shone as the sun in all of his brilliancy, that same John fell at his feet as dead. That's the Christ I want to behold. I want to see him. Jesus, be Jesus in me. And as I go forth to my work and my responsibilities, as my friends turn to their responsibilities, May they do it not in their own strength or wisdom or ingenuity, but may they go forth in the strength of the Lord God, in Jesus' name, knowing that greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world. Jesus, be Jesus in me. Be Jesus, become the Christ of the New Testament in our lives today. Not some phony Jesus that we see all around us, but the Christ of the Scriptures revealed within us as we live out our lives out there. Be Jesus in me. whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. The psalmist spoke these words in Psalm 73, and he uttered them after he had come through a trial of his faith. And he didn't make out too good either, because he became very envious of the wicked and of the foolish, because he saw their prosperity. He said, "For I was envious of the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no pangs in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued with other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about like a chain, violence covereth them like a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness, they have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression, they speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth." And anyway, he says those who could care less about God seem to be having such an easy life, and I'm having such a rough time of it. And they're prospering, and I'm struggling. And at one point he actually said, "I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocence. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning." And he began feeling sorry for himself, because the wicked were prospering, and here he was, a righteous saint, and he was struggling and having all kinds of difficulties, and he couldn't understand what was going on until he went one day into the sanctuary of God, and there the Lord explained it to him. It wasn't just the present moment of what you see and the things that are apparently so, but it's in the long run. It's in the ultimate. It's in the final end of things. We're here just for a short, brief period. There are a lot of injustices, a lot of unfairness in life. Some of those who hate and despise God the most prosper the most. And a lot of times life doesn't make sense. But as he stood there in the sanctuary, God explained it to him. "Surely thou didst set them in slippery places, thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation as in a moment?" Speaking of the wicked, they are utterly consumed with terrors. And then he began to feel bad because of how he felt. He said, "Oh, so foolish was I, and ignorant. I was like a beast before thee." And he goes on to say, "Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God." I think we need to come to the place in our lives where nothing else really matters except Jesus. That he's the only one. Whether you're rich or poor, healthy or sick, if everything is going beautifully your way or everything going in reverse, "Lord, you're all I want. Only Jesus. If I can just know there is nothing between my soul and the Savior, and my heart is right with God, and God is well pleased with me, then nothing else matters. It's only Jesus. Only Jesus." Oh God, bring us to this attitude, to this point in our lives. "Whom have I in heaven but thee, and there's none upon earth I desire but you, Lord."
I found a refuge from life's care in Jesus. I am hiding in his love divine. He fully understands my soul.
Well, dear friend, I've enjoyed being with you as we share together these 30 minutes of morning devotions. This is John Thrasher. Thanks for listening. Hope you have a good day. If you'd like to write to the program sometime, our mailing address, Morning Devotions, Post Office Box 552, Bristol, Tennessee, 37621. May God be with you and keep you very close to Himself. There is no other way to live, is there? But you know that.
Bye.